Ready to go?
Yep.
The Kill on Two Monologue.
Welcome to the Kill on Two podcast. This is episode number 20. We've got a lot on the schedule. We got some things going on in Morocco. We have North Sega things to talk about. But we got Josh Binstock from Canadian Beach Volleyball on the line right now. So we're going to get right to that. Cam is my partner here on the podcast. How you doing there, Cam?
I'm quite well, but we have a guest, so let's introduce them to the show. Josh, welcome to the program again.
Thank you for having me.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm good, thank you. Yourself?
We're doing pretty good up here. It's a little cold in Toronto, but...
Yeah, tough coming home to this.
Definitely. We're going to try to make the best of it. Now, you have been in the States the last couple of weeks, is that correct?
That is correct, yeah.
And so... There were a couple of domestic events. There's a couple of different tours going on in the States. There's the NVLs, and then the USAV Cuervo is doing some things together.
Right.
How many weeks were you down south?
I guess 2.5. It was 3 events in a row, so 3 weekends. I mean, it was kind of random last minute for me. I was wanting to play in those initially, however, I wasn't really sanctioned by the FIVB yet.
Right.
So if you kind of play in one of those events that's not sanctioned by the FIVB, you're kind of risking being disqualified. And obviously with the Olympics coming up, it is not worth the risk.
Mm-hmm.
So Hinnerk, one of the administrators in Volleyball Canada, just emailed me, I think on the Wednesday, and said, this weekend coming up, like starting on Friday, is sanctioned. So I'm like, great, thanks for the notice. But last minute, I have a buddy in Florida who knew of a guy who was pretty good, also looking for a partner, Ty Trambley, and I never met him before, but I literally booked my flight on Wednesday night and flew down to Miami on Thursday to meet him and play.
So you met him that day?
Yeah.
Okay. Was there any correspondence? Did you guys at least get to, send an email or something? Or you just basically
It was pretty much, it was random too. I just happened to be on Facebook on Wednesday night and just talked to my buddy, and he's like, yeah, this guy looking for a partner, so... we both agreed, and then we sent a text saying, you want to pick me up at the airport? and then that was pretty much it.
So what's the first thing you guys do when you get together? Do you just, say hello, try to meet the person? Do you go right into strategy?
It was a weird scene. The only other time I've done that was with Prosser, kind of, but when I played with Prosser last year in that the USA Open Championships, I had met him before where was that? Oh, Alberta. They used to have that Sawridge, I guess. Remember how they had that volleyball tournament last year, 2 years ago? It was a pretty big payout tournament in Canada. I forget the exact name of the town in Alberta. But anyways, him and Evie Matthews came up. We played them in the finals and met them there. So, yeah, this was the first time I actually met him. So we kind of just hung out for the first day, just getting to know each other and figuring out how we're going to do all this. So it was pretty much, take it as it comes.
But it went as well as I guess it could?
Yeah, considering we didn't really have any quote-unquote chemistry on the court, we just knew. And I played right side all year, and I also played defense all year. And then all of a sudden, now I'm playing left side and running up the block. So it was a new feel for me, that's for sure. He felt more comfortable on the right, and so did I. But I just figured, let's say whoever gets served should be on his most comfortable side. So whoever it was, we just... did that, and we played pretty good together, considering we hadn't really known each other's strengths, weaknesses. He's a pretty talented athlete for sure.
Right. So these are U.S. domestic events. Was there any kind of did you hear anything from the players being like, what is this Canadian showing up on tour is in such a state as it is, now we have the Canadians trying to invade?
They were a little shocked. They're like, we didn't know international players were allowed, joking around. But just from last year, I met a lot of the guys. So my time last year was the really first time they kind of didn't know me. And everybody was like, what's your deal and stuff like that. And I kind of played that up like, I don't really play that much and stuff. But that doesn't work anymore. So, they knew me and they kind of knew that I try to get involved whenever I can. So they were pretty welcoming with that.
That's great. So... there was the NVL and a Cuervo event in Miami, and then you headed off to the west coast of the States for the Hermosa Cuervo event.
Yeah. I literally only booked a ticket for the weekend. Like, I had my coming down on the Friday and coming back home on the Monday. I didn't even realize I could play in this Cuervo event the weekend after that because they were only taking 16 teams, and I wasn't sure if I would even be able to get in on points. Long story short, this guy Mark Van Sweden, who lives in Florida, he's that points guy who knows all the stats and numbers and stuff, and he said we could get in if we paired up. So I said, sure, if I'm able to stay in South Beach for another week and play volleyball, I will take it. So we found out, I guess. So I had to just cancel my return flight on Monday, just postpone it. Found out that we were able to be in on Wednesday, and same kind of thing. I knew Mark, but I had never played with him before. And we ended up, yeah, just playing that weekend. So that was kind of random, but fun.
Now with Mark, were you on the left or right side? What were the roles this time?
That was a little bit of both. He started on one side, and then whenever he wanted to switch over, he moved over. So I pretty much let him know that whatever he wanted to work on, what I was okay with. So with him, yeah, we flip-flopped whatever he felt comfortable. I just kind of shifted to whatever he wanted.
Now, with a whole season of beach, I mean, you generally start with a partner, you work with that partner, and you develop the goals that you have over the year, maybe where you want to end up or progress towards. What do you hope to get out of weekends like this where they're really, thrown together? You couldn't have possibly planned in advance to, know what you wanted to get out of it. Like,
right.
What is the goal of, benefiting from the weekend?
Yeah, definitely. It's tough to go in with expectations. Usually when you go into FIVB or type of things, you have a plan, you have a goal, you have a game plan, what you want to accomplish out of this. But yeah, you're right. It was it wasn't really much other than one. I mean, obviously a chance to make money, so that's always good. And two, just kind of trying to still play volleyball as long as possible before the cold comes. The expenses were pretty much minimal. I flew down on points and I stayed with friends wherever I was. Like, I had a buddy in South Beach, and then in Hermosa I stayed with Ty. So I knew the risk of losing money was very minimal, so it was pretty much just kind of still playing, and it's fun to get along with the American players as well, so just to kind of hang out in as a goodbye to the season send-off type of thing.
Right. Now, with the collapse of the AVP, the NVL is around, the Cuervo events are coming around, and you've actually had a chance to compete in both. Do you feel that these tours, just from being down there, are they going to combine and try to share a tour, or do you feel that there is one or the other that is actually in the limelight to become the premier tour in the States?
Right, yeah. I mean, that would be the ideal situation, especially with all the different balls you're using,
right,
which is not, you wouldn't think that would affect it, but it's a totally different game with each ball. Like, Cuervo, they use this Spalding ball that has panels on it, so,
right,
that kind of plays differently when you put spin on it compared to the NVL, which is kind of like the old school AVP, but a little bigger and heavier. So, and then there's the FIVB if you want to go and play with that. So it would be nice if one tour used one ball, but I'm not sure. I've asked around that same thing, and it doesn't look like at the moment there will be one big, amalgamation. Cuervo is backed by IMG. You guys know that company?
Right.
So they are, as for now, in terms of status and payouts and all that kind of stuff, they're the front runner because they have that backing. But what, considering it was Albie's first year and what his resources did, he put on a great event, has great prize money, and it was very professional as well. So, I was impressed with both tours for sure, considering what they have.
That's great. Now, this upcoming week is the final men's FIVB event of the 2011 season in Morocco. It starts on the 4th. And I noticed that on the FIVB website, not only are you not listed, but there are no Canadian men registered for this event. Is that just something that the website hasn't been updated? Or are we not sending anybody?
Redmond and Saxton were planning on playing that, but
okay.
They're in Puerto Vallarta right now. I just talked to Christian, and I wasn't sure if he pulled out. I think if anything, it was just them. The only other team I knew I was planning on it was Hatch and Schachter, and Maverick is going in for knee surgery on his meniscus in a couple days. I don't think it's anything complicated, but not worth it. And then for myself, going to Morocco, we kind of looked at the flights, and in terms of the risk-benefit ratio, it just didn't pay out for us to go, one, for how expensive it was, and two, it wouldn't really be that big of a deal with points. It's not like it's going to get us right into the main draw for next year.
Mm-hmm.
And with the way Olympic qualification is going, it's starting fresh next year. I don't know if you guys are familiar with how these two teams from Canada are going to be selected to go to this Continental Cup.
Yeah, I think it's is it starting, like the Continental Cup? We still have top 16. Like, if we do really well, we can still get some top 16
right.
FIVB. That's kind of like the hopeful, because we also have this Continental Cup option.
Yeah.
But yeah, how are the teams being chosen for the Continental Cup?
So I think there are six or seven, FIVB events before the Continental Cup. So okay. What Volleyball Canada is doing is taking the top two Canadian teams with the best average top four finishes. So like your top four finishes out of however many events, the six or seven, and they take the average of those top four, and the top two teams will be sent to the Continental Cup.
And those top four finishes are just from the 2012 season?
Correct.
Ooh, so that's like getting right down to it, because there may not be that many events before the Olympics.
It means that they want the best team who's playing best at that time, you know? It doesn't really matter what you did before. It's Olympics are coming up, and you need to be peaking at that time. So I like that, which another factor that contributed to not playing in Morocco was that since the qualification is kind of just starting clean slate next year, playing in this doesn't really affect us too much. And it's just not worth the kind of travel. We've been traveling for so long and the money and stuff. So we just figured it wasn't worth it.
So I guess if it's pretty much a sprint from the beginning of next season to try to get to the Olympics, you're going to have quite the off season ahead of you.
Yeah. This has to be one of the most productive and efficient off seasons I've ever had, because upcoming to this this season coming up, I want to be playing the best ball I've ever played, and to do that, a good preparation and off season is in order for sure.
Yeah, that's good luck with that. It sounds like you have a lot of fun leading up to this. Beaches on both sides of the continent can't be a bad way to send out the summer.
Yeah, it was great. Met a lot of new friends down there, and it was great. Great quality ball. So next time I might have planning a little bit better than just going last second and playing with somebody I just met, but definitely no regrets, and I enjoyed every part of it.
Yeah, what an experience. You have to jump on an experience like that when it comes. Don't just roll around every day.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I knew, there was, I wasn't really going to ensure who I was playing with, and the results, I wasn't sure what to expect, but there was no way that, I wasn't participating and experiencing these events and going down there and playing with a couple new guys and meeting some new people. So it was a great experience for sure.
All right,
Josh, well, thank you for joining us. We'll let you get going.
My pleasure.
But thanks so much for being on the podcast, and best of luck with your, I guess, off-season training, and we'll hear from you soon.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks, Josh.
Cheers.
Take care, guys.
As we just got to with Josh Binstock, there is FIVB coming up just around the corner in Morocco. Not too many Canadians preparing on their way, but there are some good teams in there, some good volleyball up ahead, eh?
There are a lot of good teams. As you know, we just said, the registration on the actual site doesn't show any Canadian teams, but as Josh just told us, Christian and Ben might be going to that event, so hopefully we'll get them on and that will be updated so that we have some Canadian representation. But the U.S. is sending three teams.
Yeah.
No Phil and Todd, because, well, I think Phil's getting married and Todd has his surgery.
Yeah, they are not going to be playing volleyball until the next summer.
Right. So
not that you'll see publicly, at least.
Furbringer Lucena, Gibbon Rosenthal, and Jennings Wong.
Yeah.
See Jennings coming off a win in Hermosa.
And you have Furbringer Lucena and Gibbon Rosenthal, who just came off a semifinal against each other.
Yeah.
So Gibbon Rosenthal coming away with a win. So I'm always excited to see some back and forth between internet, like within the own country.
And they are on the FIVB point stage. They're like neck and neck, those two teams. So when fighting out, as the United States has said, they're going to go with top 16 FIVB for their London 2012 teams.
Yeah.
Those two guys are behind Phil and Todd fighting for that second spot. So this event might give one team some extra points, a little bit of breathing room going into the 2012 season.
Love it.
Yeah, it's great. So, yes, Marcio and Benjamin are going in. Kuna, Ricardo, Brazil, Zhu and Wu from China, and Brink Reckermann from Germany. This is a pretty good event. It's not a Grand Slam event. It's just a normal kind of last event of the season, wrap up in October.
Yeah. Since there was a kind of, a small window break in between this event and the other ones, do you think there's a different mentality going in for these teams? Like, if you're, put yourself in the position, you're out there Morocco. Are you playing as hard as you, are you more going for like, repetition, trying to get that extra practice in?
Well, the thing is this, we don't know if these players have been playing as often as they have been when compared to earlier in the summer.
Yeah.
When they were playing every week, pretty much every day sometimes, when they were on tour, they were, you know, playing high levels and playing high levels every day of competition. But now that the tour's kind of dwindled off, sure, there are some domestic events going around, like we talked about with the Cuervo events in the States for the Americans. But I don't know if the same is happening in Brazil or Germany and Europe for that matter. So I don't know how those teams will be affected. But I think they're definitely going to be in a different mindset.
Yeah, you know, this might be the kind of event where countries like Brazil, who have an incredibly deep youth and bench, essentially,
right,
of teams they can't generally even send under their own banner. Like, those teams get to get out here and represent Brazil and play hard. They can try to solidify a spot for themselves in the upcoming years. It's kind of disappointing that we don't have more Canadians in here. This seems like one of those events that's really up there for them to jump in, get a high rating, start with some points, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm, you know, like a parent after hearing their child swear disappointed. It's just, you know, it seems like an opportunity.
Yeah, but you got to keep in mind what Josh was telling us, you know. When you look at, like, the benefits of playing in this event,
yeah,
and the cost of flying to Morocco for the week, the Canadian Olympic qualification, anyway, is going to be all based on 2012 results. So you got to kind of weigh your pros and cons, and I guess Morocco isn't looking
that
too good for some Canadians.
It's a Moroccon.
Hopefully it gets updated, and we'll see if Christian and Ben are going. That would be nice to have at least one Canadian team there.
Yeah. But there is FIVB going on right now as we speak.
Norseca.
Yeah, it's Norseca?
Yes.
Well, my apologies. Norseca in Puerto Vallarta. And we have two Canadian teams, one on the men's side, one on the women's side, both right in the contention, right down on the last day.
Definitely. We know that Christian Redman and Ben Saxton are going into the finals. Actually, the finals just started a couple minutes ago as we're recording this podcast, so maybe we'll get an update for you, but might not look it. But they're going to be playing Mexico, host nation.
Okay.
In the finals. So congrats to them and good luck. And then Liz Maloney and Heather Bansley on the women's side of the tournament.
They entered the semifinals this morning.
Yes, against Heather Hughes and Emily Day of the U.S. We don't know the outcome of that match, so we don't know if they are in the gold medal match, which we hope for, or if they lost that match to the States and are in the bronze medal. But check back to Kill on 2 or our Twitter feed. We'll tweet out those results once we know them.
Yeah.
I wish that Norseca had live streaming. I wish that it was more reliable. It's so hard to get scores off that site.
Yeah, it definitely is a problem. The Norseca does not update enough. Like, I wish, you know, that they don't have any kind of, you know, team out there doing media for their website. There's one person.
Yeah.
It's one person. And if they happen to be hungry during the time that I want my updates, that's too bad. I'm not going to get my update. Well, and, you know, I'm just going to have to deal with that.
We're working on something that we can maybe bring a fix to that, right?
Yeah.
Wink. Teaser.
Teaser. One day.
Keep your eyes out to the site.
Folks. Yeah. There you go. And one other thing that's going to be coming to the website, did you want to talk about that now, is how when live streams are there, people can get them going on their screens?
Yeah, I wrote an article that was about how viewers in the U.S. can watch Laola1.tv live streams.
And for those who don't know what Laola1.tv is, because what a terrible title for something it is. It's a brutal title.
Probably an acronym, but I don't know what for.
It's a great website. They specialize in kind of what I would consider fringe sports, but I guess in Europe they're a bit more popular. Stuff like floor hockey or
handball,
yeah. European handball, which I call, it's just handball there, I guess.
The Russian hockey leagues, they do some Russian ice hockey.
But
stuff.
They have a great amount of volleyball. They cover league events, they cover world league events, they even cover some beach events.
Yeah, Champions League.
And it's high quality, it's good streaming.
Indoor and beach, men's and women's.
Sometimes there's broadcasts, like with broadcaster and speaking, but oftentimes it's just the audio of the game, which is a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah,
because those are some fired up European audiences.
I would say that it is the best site on the internet to watch live streaming volleyball
because
the quality, the production value is fantastic. But one of the disadvantages is that for the FIVB World Tour and for World League on the indoor stage, for the US, for example, the US has broadcast rights with NBC, Universal Sports, to do that, the broadcast for the States. And because of that, if you are a viewer in the US, you cannot watch live on Laola One.
Yeah.
They block your IP. So we actually wrote an article about how to watch live. There's a way of getting around it, and it's all free. You can check out some volleyball if you're in the States. Well, this has been another episode of the Kill on Two Volleyball Podcast. I am Cam.
This one's Alex.
If you'd like to contact us throughout the week, you can email us at contact@killon2.com. We are also on Facebook and Twitter at facebook.com/killon2 and twitter.com/killon2. Take care.
Yeah. Hit that Trail of Dead theme music.